We're going to start this morning. We've been talking about the debt problems on the programme, particularly at this time of the year. It can be a major problem just after Christmas, people maxing out credit cards and racking up overdrafts. But keeping up with mortgage repayments or rent arrears can also be a big challenge. What help is there for those in danger of losing their homes? I've been speaking to Mary. We've changed her name to protect her identity. She's a single mother. She's been telling us the pressure of keeping up mortgage repayments brought her to the brink of suicide. She got help, and she's urging other people now to do the same.
It started roughly about 2006. I bought my wee house, an executive house, in 2005, just before the recession hit and the property boom hit the country.
And that was a housing executive property you've been living in for, what, 10 or 12 years before that?
For 20 years, and I got the chance of buying it. And the mortgage price then was spot on. But with the property boom, the mortgage price went sky high. It almost doubled.
So from about £230 a month, you were paying, what, nearly £500?
Well, it's just over £400.
Okay. No. So what happens at that point?
At that point, periodically, I was defaulting regular on my mortgage payments. And that's not all I was defaulting on. There was a few other payments of debt that I got into that I couldn't manage.
And in terms of your income, you were working, what, part-time? So you weren't actually ever 100% sure as to what the income would be. It was relative to the amount of hours that you were working, is that right?
Of course, like any wage would be, Joel, it would be relevant to what you bring in, to what's going out. And like I said, at the time when I took the house on, everything was hunky-dory and it just started spiralling downwards because of the recession and the mortgage payments going up, the property boom said that's what was going to happen, so I had to pay more money for the mortgage then. And then after that, it was a case of, because I defaulted so much, I had to go to court over repossession of the house a few times, the last time being last September. So I went to Citizens Advice over that.
And if we go to the time when the mortgage payments have almost doubled and you're looking at this and, you know, you're, first of all, you're worried about the defaulting of the payments. You're worried about how you're going to make ends meet. You're worried then, on the other hand, of how many hours am I actually going to have because you're a part-time care assistant.
You have
the stress of working. You have the stress of worrying about the hours. You have the stress of these bills. And then you throw into the fact that you've your daughters to worry about as well. I mean, what was that like, that place where you found yourself?
I did have to go to counselling. I went through a very bad period, about 2 years of depression. Which isn't me. If anybody knows me, they know that that's not me. But I was completely out of control, and that's the one thing that will put anyone into depression, when you know that you can't look after your children. You know, that is just unbelievable for a mother who does care. I don't go out. I don't smoke. I very rarely drink. All I do is look after my home and my children and my animals. And I had to seek counselling. So that was the worst part. That was the very worst part.
And the effect that this has on your everyday life, I mean, tell us what that's like.
It is a constant worry. And any counsellor or psychiatrist can tell you can't sustain that feeling without something snapping. I go through every day, I have to check money. I'm still in a position where I'm living hand to mouth, and it's I count the pennies all the time. I don't get, like, people get £500 worth of oil. I would get maybe £15 worth of oil a week, £10 worth of electricity a week. So getting into a place where there's debt wasn't a solution, but it wasn't something I could foresee in the future with. And I'm only talking from previous experience from my life here. I don't know how to deal with it. It was only through help from professional people that I was able to get back on my feet again.
And in terms of the period, I mean, obviously, when you're having the counselling, that's when you've probably reached, as you look back now, what would have been the lowest point. Is that fair to say?
Totally.
So what's every day like at that point?
It affected the children quite a lot. My oldest daughter ended up leaving. She left home. She went to England to live. I don't think she could handle it. The youngest one, they don't really realise, or they're quite strong at that age, although mine one is. She's quite a strong girl. So she dealt with it in her own way, but it did bring me to the point of, and I don't talk about this to anyone else, only my family knows, it did bring me to the point of attempting suicide.
Really?
Yep.
And what at that period of time, what are the thoughts that are going through your mind and your head? I mean, who did you speak to? Did you find it, you reached the point where you had to just tell someone?
Yeah, it was purely by chance. My daughter was having problems in school, and I phoned up, and I don't actually remember the name, but it's to do with parenting. It was on the radio, and the lady actually listened to me for over an hour, and she pinpointed it wasn't so much my daughter that was having problems. She said it was me. And she made me promise to put the phone down and phone the doctor, and that's where I went on to counselling.
So that chance, listening to that person on the radio or hearing about that group on the radio,
yeah,
prompted you to lift the phone,
yeah,
at a point when you were contemplating taking your own life?
Unfortunately so, yep.
The moment when your eldest daughter leaves home, I mean, that must hit you hard.
It did hit me very hard, yeah. It did. But she's 23, and there's not a lot you can do about that. At the time, she didn't actually realise the big reason why she left. It was more because she couldn't cope with me, who couldn't cope. She was used to a mum who was always jolly and happy and able to bring in, you know, what a family would need to be brought in. I'm a single parent, by the way, so I have been for over 20 years now, so, which makes it a lot harder, if you ask me.
And you're obviously in a very vulnerable state because you've told us about many of the things that have been going through your head.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to get your head around the idea that your daughter has left home because she can't cope with the state that you're actually in, I mean, that must be soul-destroying.
It was devastating. It was another problem I had to deal with, knowing she was away and was she going to be all right? She didn't have a job. She was going to friends. Were they going to look after her? I couldn't forward money to her. Obviously, I didn't. I wasn't in a financial state to do that. So the council did bring me through with men tools that I could use to keep myself on the straight and narrow in more ways than one. Financially, emotionally, I was able to cope a lot better.
So the debt is turning your life upside down. We're hearing about how you've needed counselling. You've been on the brink of suicide. Your eldest daughter has left because she's struggling to cope with the fact that you can't cope. The court appearances are arriving and all sorts of bills are arriving. It's not just the mortgage. There are other bills that are arriving.
Yeah.
What then happens? Is there a point that you now look back on and say, that's whenever I made a decision, I needed financial help, not just counselling, and yeah, I needed to do something
yeah
about it?
You either sink or swim, Joel, and I phoned the Citizens Advice when I got the court appearance for last year from the mortgage lender, and the Citizens Advice put me on to a group called Housing Rights Service, and I met up with the chap when I was in court last September. His name was Eamon McLaughlin, and he was a very confident young man who put me at my ease immediately. He's a man of few words, but he knew exactly what he was doing, and I had confidence in him straight away. He told me what to say when I went into court. He gave me a briefing before I went into court of what he was looking to achieve regarding my my arrears as well as the payment, because I was in court a few times before that with repossession of the house, and I think that the last time would have been a no-goer as far as the mortgage lender was concerned. They were looking to repossess, and that was the end of it. But Eamon was able to talk to the master of the court, and he came to a conclusion with the mortgage lender and the master that I pay a certain amount of arrears. I kept my nose clean, and in 2 years' time, I was able to go back to ordinary mortgage payments. At present, I'm on a system called credit repair patch, where they put the interest up. I don't know why they do this. I've already looked into it, and I'm not too sure why they do this, but Eamon was able to keep me on the straight and narrow where court was concerned, and he negotiated to, well, obviously I'm still here, so I can only thank Housing Rights Services for being here at the moment.
And the thing about it is, Mary, and why we're talking to you this morning, and why you've agreed to come on the programme, you know, we're talking about post-Christmas debt a little bit earlier in the week. And I think you want to get the message across that for many, many people, you know, there are many in your situation who might be listening to this morning, just as you were listening to a radio programme.
Yeah.
And you want to get that message out that actually, even though you might think it at the moment, you don't have to suffer it alone, and there is help out there for you.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't stress that any stronger than I can at present. If anyone is out there and they're having problems with debt post-Christmas, the need, there's loads of people out there. Citizens Advice is a great starter. They'll put you on the straight and narrow, as they did with me, for Housing Rights Services.
Because as low as many of those people might think they are at the moment, you would probably say to them, you were there.
I was there. I done that. I thought there was only, I'm the only one going through this, and sitting in the kitchen over a cup of tea, crying, trying to assess my whole financial life. And, well, you know, you can only think the worst at that particular period in your life, really. When you can't look after your children, it has to be the worst period of your life. And my home being taken away from me, I honestly would say, Joel, I don't think I would be on this earth if that had happened. And I've got a few professional people to thank for that.
That was Mary. We've changed her name to protect her identity, as I was saying, single mother, and telling us there about the pressure of keeping up her mortgage repayments.